Hey, everybody, I'm Tim Miller.
And I'm Cameron Caskey, and we're going to keep it light today on FYPod. We're very exhausted. We've been talking about condemnable political violence for several days now. I get very triggered by watching people get shot dead because I'm a school shooting survivor. Tim has had to talk about this left and right. We're gonna take it easy. We need to relax, you know?
Yeah, great.
And we're going to do just that. We've got some breaking news that everybody's going to give so many fucks about. The TikTok deal has gone through. The United States and the Chinese Communist Party have locked arms in one of the most powerful pro-communist moments in global history, my comrades. And TikTok's going to be okay. So for all of you whose brains are fucking melting out of their ears and nose, you can continue to do that.
Cameron, I do have to correct you. It's important we get the facts right here on the board page. The deal has not been finalized because as our great Treasury Secretary, Barbie house living Scott Bessent, and punch your fiery fist, Scott Bessent's almost gotten into two fights in the administration.
That we know of so far.
So far, yeah. Like, dude is ready to throw down, you know? We're maybe he's the gay who punches that we need. Anyway, the Treasury Secretary said this. We have a framework for a TikTok deal, his agreement. The two leaders, Trump and party chair Xi, will speak on Friday to complete the deal. Is that how things work here in this country? Where, like, the president of the United States just meets with the communist dictator and decides what happens to a private company after Congress has already voted on something and the Supreme Court has ruled on it. The leader just gets to shine a deal. That doesn't feel right. I don't think that's how things are supposed to go in a capitalist system.
Communist, authoritarian, no matter what the word in front of dictator is, the second word is dictator.
Mm.
But I like the idea of a framework for a deal. It almost brings to mind the famous concept of a plan that Trump had.
Yeah.
One of those Trump things where I feel
what
like
was that around? That was around healthcare, right? We had a concept of a plan for healthcare.
Is that what got? I have an idea of a memory of what it was about, but generally speaking, it's one of those Trump things where when people cite it in regular conversation, I don't get annoyed and say shut the fuck up about Trump. I'm like, concept of a plan is pretty funny.
Yeah, that's what it was. Concept of a plan regarding the replacement of the ACA. It's interesting. It turns out he did have a concept of a plan, and they're executing on it right now, which is that if you get subsidies from the Affordable Care Act, you're not going to get those anymore. And so a lot of people's health insurance premiums are like just finding – this is like a story that's happening right now as we talk. In like the last week or two, some people are trying to get their premiums for next year and realize that they're going to be a lot higher because they got rid of the subsidies. So he had a concept of a plan. It was just you have to pay more for your health care. He didn't want to – you can understand why he wouldn't have wanted to enunciate that plan on the campaign trail.
Yeah, and when it comes to health care and affordability in terms of health care, I think that – the Democratic Party needs to restructure the way we look at this because something like single payer as an option, it's no longer a question of what is going to save taxpayers the most money, what's going to be the best system. The new question is, how do we mitigate the harm that's going to be caused by RFK Jr.'s destruction as well as we possibly can? Like, what are we going to do to protect the four-year-olds getting attached to fucking iron lungs when they go to pre-K? Because their parents saw a TikTok. Oh, and TikTok's okay, so it'll be there still. Their parents saw a TikTok telling them that like drinking unpasteurized milk is more effective than a fucking TB vaccine. Like that's how I think we need to approach healthcare right now, is less what is the best financial model for healthcare and more like how are we going to help the many people who will spend generations paying for Robert Failson Kennedy Jr.'s like reign of terror.
Can I say another thing while we're talking about vaccines? On our Saturday episode with Amanda Lippman, which was so good. She's amazing. Run for something. Go support her work.
Run for something you're telling me to do? Okay, I'll think about it.
I'm telling everybody to think about it, and especially if you might be living near New York 12 and already have a platform and a history of activism. On that episode, I brought up that I had been mistakenly glib about the shingles vaccine, and I was just trying to be funny, and I said I apologize. People are mad at me about that, and I it was just a joke. And yet, still, in the comment sections, after I said that I was wrong, people felt the need to be like, and another thing, shingles is very bad, Tim. You don't know how bad shingles is. And they would write long messages in the comments about how bad their experience with shingles is. And I was like, that's what I told you. I just take apology for an answer. You know, take a yes for an answer. We're vulnerable here. This is what me and Karen are trying to tell you. We're in a vulnerable moment right now. We don't need to be
Wait, while we're talking about audience feedback, I just want to say whoever on Reddit talked about how Tim was on MSNBC talking about Howard Nutlick and had to pause before he said Lutnick because he's so used to calling him Howard Nutlick. I wanted to give you a chance to respond to this person.
I just want to let the magic stand. Okay. I'm just glad you enjoyed it. All right. I'm just out here trying to give you guys little glimmers of joy in the midst of the madness. And I'm glad you enjoyed that. Just closing loop on the TikTok before we get to the silly topics you wanted to do. In your friend group, like, were people mad about this? Did they care about it? Like, was it something that was on your text chains? Like, were people just assuming it was never going to happen? Like, was there any dialogue about this at all?
So I was kind of making fun of it when the original talk of the TikTok ban was happening and when this was first a topic in either late January or early February. I was making fun of it, and some people were like, Cam, there's a lot of businesses that rely on this, and there's a lot of small businesses where TikTok is the way that they've been able to attract customers. Like, this isn't just a matter of people dancing and spreading misinformation and communist propaganda. There's more to it than that. And I was sort of like, okay, but it's not like I'm joking about people getting killed. It's not like I'm, you know, making a mockery of something very serious. It is TikTok. I do get that, like, this is part of certain people's livelihoods. But generally speaking, people were very against the TikTok ban. I was against it because, generally speaking, people were, to be honest, I didn't really give a shit because I think TikTok fucking sucks. And I think the UI is ugly. And I think that it can be pretty directly attributed to the radicalization of my generation of young men. But also, I think it would have happened anyway. Is the other end of that? Like, I think Gamergate is more easily the thing that we can point to. But yeah, people were upset about the TikTok. It definitely wasn't in the conversation this week, because I think everybody had already assumed that we were kind of over this.
Yeah, right.
Once that message went out on TikTok saying, thank you, Emperor Trump, we thank you for your service, saving everybody's lives, the push notification TikTok sent out, I think that was kind of the end of it. And nobody really knew that this was still something that was being discussed.
Yeah.
But
that makes sense. Yeah, no, I hear you. I like you, like your pause showed, I was pretty torn about, like, the actual merits of the TikTok ban. Like, I guess this is kind of one of those things where I give so many opinions. I bet if you went back into my archive, at some point I gave an opinion about which side I would have been on it in the end. But it was really, I don't really remember. It was a close run call for me. Like, the Chinese part of it is the thing that was the most concerning for me. And I was kind of like, couldn't this be replicable by somebody? And couldn't somebody in America create a fucking short-term video feed, short-form video feed that's addictive? Like, you know, I don't know. Instagram Reels is kind of that already, but just not as good. And I'm hesitant on I just have a natural aversion to bans. Like, I have a high bar for wanting bans. That said, like, I have an extremely clear view on the fact that if the Congress bans something and the president signs it and the Supreme Court rules 9-0 that it should be banned, that it should actually be banned, and that we shouldn't just let Donald Trump, like, lick his little tiny pinky finger and just his little orange finger and be like, never mind, we don't ban it. And, like, that is the thing that is, I guess it's just hard to get people to care about process, but it's kind of like...
It is hard to get people to care about process.
Yeah, but it just makes me like, it's not a democracy. Like, we're not, and I guess maybe people have just sort of decided we're not really in a democracy, so they don't really care. But that whole part is the alarming thing to me.
And I think Trump is exploiting the fact that the complexity of the process makes it hard for people to care about the process, because there's just so many things like this need to go through. It brings to mind the Caskey versus Nike Supreme Court case. Do you know about this?
I didn't know about your showdown. My
great uncle won a Supreme Court case against Nike. First Amendment case.
Was he a day laborer in China putting together the
shoes? Was about that. It was about Nike was advertising that they were not using sweatshops. And he was like, yeah, they are. So it became a First Amendment question of like, well, can we say this in our
lie?
Everybody look up Caskey versus Nike. It's the real legacy of my family, that and my grandfather, not me.
What was the end? I need the story. I need you to tell me what happened. How did it play out?
He ended up going to Burning Man all the time. That is what happened. Big Burning Man guy, Mark Caskey.
Okay. Court decision ruled 4-3 in favor of him. So did Nike stop? Nike settled out of court with him. So I guess maybe he probably had a nice spot at Burning Man. But I don't know. Does it seem like Nike actually changed their practices?
Wait, they settled out of court. Oh, shit. Okay, well, I'm going to text some people and see if I have access to more money than I thought I did. Thank you, FYPod.
Okay. Anyway, all right. Well, if you want to advertise on this show, you have to be honest about your practices. And that's why we have Mint Mobile. Do you struggle with procrastinating? I know Cam does. Do you know when you put off doing something that could save you a ton and that's annoying? I am a huge procrastinator sometimes as well. But that changed when I heard about Mint Mobile's best deal of the year that's ending soon. 50% off unlimited premium wireless for new customers. Stop overspending with big wireless and cut your wireless bill to $15 a month when you switch. All Mint Mobile plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your current phone number on any Mint Mobile plan and bring along all your existing contacts. Don't miss out on 3 months of unlimited premium wireless from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. But hurry, because this deal ends September 22nd. Oh shit, that's in 1 week. So quit stalling and start saving when you make the switch. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/FYPod. That's mintmobile.com/FYPod. Upfront payment of $45 is required. Limited time, new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. Okay, Cam, you had some other things you wanted to talk about.
Yes, I found a video in our search for anything other than reprehensible political violence to talk about.
Great.
I found a video that covers a topic that is actually very interesting to me, which is Gen Z's relationship with religion. Mm. I want to take a look at it right now.
First time in history, young women are less religious than young men now.
Typically, women would have been more.
Yeah. But among Gen Z, it's men that are going to church way more than women now. And Jonathan Haidt did some research on this showing that he looked at a survey of statements, and they were things like, I have no hope in myself, I don't believe, like really self-disparaging statements. And he found that teenagers without religion agreed with them way stronger than teenagers who were religious, and especially who were conservative. That external locus of control. So conservatives tend to have more of an internal locus of control. So they feel more control over things happening in their lives. Also, if you're conservative teenager, you're more likely to be living with both parents, which I think protects your mental health. And also your parents are more likely to have
the locusts from boundaries. Are you familiar with the pharaoh?
I think it probably is getting in the way in a sense.
He was a real asshole to the Jews.
It's kind of the opposite of
religion. Many years ago.
Christianity, locusts were one of the plagues.
Stop the video. I can't listen to the video and Cameron make jokes about the pharaoh going after the Jewish people.
The pharaoh going after the Jewish people was no joke. And we're glad that we got rid of that guy. What's your take on all of this with the religiosity of young dudes? And
we're really coming into a couple of topics on this show that I'm torn about. It's very freeing as a content man to just sometimes say, I don't know, I've got mixed views on this. It's something that I try to practice because you don't see a lot of that out there. You see a lot of people bullshitting and pretending like they have really strong views about things they don't know anything about. But personally, I had some bad experiences with religion, you know, as a gay Catholic. I just have some negative associations. Didn't really work for me. Wasn't that great. And yet, I think that there was I hate positively quoting Ross Douthat, but I'm pretty sure this was a Ross Douthat line that was kind of like, if you didn't like the evangelical right, like wait until you meet the atheist right. And like, I think that there's like a little bit of truth under that. I think that in society, there's some people that really gain value from a belief in an external locus of control. Is that locus of control, as that woman was saying? And that there are, in a society, there are folks that benefit from, you know, going and sitting in a pew on Sunday and like believing in something greater than themselves and connecting to other people in their community and trying to model positive behavior for the others, the young people in the community that are in the church, right? Obviously, there are other like deeper religious reasons to do it, but from a societal standpoint, there feel like there's some societal benefits to it. Obviously, as mentioned, there's some societal harms. And so I just look at it now and I do worry a little bit about that the lack of religion kind of ties to a lot of the other isolation stuff. So that's the part of it that worries me, even though I'm not a super, super keen on churching myself.
I definitely think talking about God all the time is a good thing to do if you are running a populist adjacent campaign in Texas for Senate. And I think that were there anybody who is talking about God all the time running a populist adjacent Senate campaign in Texas, you all ought to go donate and support and follow on social media and see how
I would just note that hypothetically, if you're talking about that kind of person, it might be good to talk about just God, not as a they, them, though. You know,
does James Tallarico not use pronouns for God?
I don't know who you're talking about, but there was, there was a clip going around of him where he talked about how God was non-binary in 2021. And like, well, the point is, I get actually my parents go to the Lib priest in Denver, shout out Father Pat. And he gave a similar sermon about that, about how God is not really man or woman. And there's, you know, something to be, that can be learned about that. And it was actually really, I listened to the homily, he tapes it. It was really thoughtful. But to your point about how, if you're doing things, maybe hopefully to get some political benefit, it's kind of a complex point and one that would probably not be particularly useful for the political purposes. You
know, I mean, there's something a little comical about the idea of God having one gender. It's like all things come from a dude, which happens to be the gender that cannot create life. Like
that is true. There's also something, and the whole thing is comical. It's comical thinking about God as like a non-binary barista. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's something above and beyond our gender construct, if you were to believe it, I would think. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think that I see where you're coming from politically speaking, but it's just like, imagine if we found out that there was a God and coincidentally God was just a dude and there's no woman
huge
God.
Dick.
It's just a guy and he reproduced by budding. Like a fucking sponge. Anyway,
You're hurting your campaign for Congress right now.
I think you got it right on the money with talking about community when it comes to religion, because that's what I see as the big value add of religion is that sense of community and that sense of being part of something with other people where you're all part of something bigger than you. I always say that one of the reasons that talking to women, both like my friends and women I'm flirting with, one of the reasons it's so easy for me is I was doing theater growing up. And when you're in a musical, girls and boys are different, sure. But at the end of the day, no matter how different you are, you're part of the same fucking show.
Yeah.
And therefore,
and you could both
you're
be
on
Peter
the
Pan.
Same team and you're part of the same community. And it's hard to look at somebody as alien and different from you when push comes to shove, it doesn't fucking matter if you don't remember your lines. So I think that the sense of community that could be provided by religion is great. But then when it comes to the sense of moral goodness and everything, I don't know how much of a difference religion will end up making in somebody. It brings to mind when we had a guest on our show who seemed like a very sincere and honest person talking about his belief in Christ and the liberating power of Christ. Mm. And it was also through Christ that he was advocating for Christofascism and sending us emails after the show about how he hopes that I, a Jewish person, can find Christ. And I was like, hey, respectfully, I'm a Jew. I'm closer to Christ than you are, dude, because Jesus is like, other than maybe Larry David, the most famous Jewish person of all time. But I don't know. I'm like, it's very obvious why women are less religious than men right now. Men are feeling lost without a sense of purpose. And when somebody, especially like a charismatic preacher, can present to you a list of things you can do in your life that can put you on the course to find a purpose that's going to be magnetic. Whereas women are looking to education and to their careers and to each other for that. Like women are friends with women right now more than guys are friends with anybody. Like women are moving in together. Women are buying houses together. That's not something rampantly happening. But what I'm saying is like women are finding in themselves and each other what a lot of young men are looking for in religion. And I know dudes personally who have gotten more religious as things have gotten more complicated and difficult. And we're going to land in the same place here, which is like, there's positives and negatives to this, right? If it's something that that actually inspires connectivity and the desire to reflect positive values, that's great. And if it's something that's just going to radicalize people even further, that's bad. But it is an interesting thing to notice that young men are looking for this more right now. And it is. Like I said,
and you're right. We don't even have to spend time on it because it's so obvious why it's happening. But I just think this is why it's like my pessimistic nature sometimes comes into play here, where I become a little bit more, I don't know, open to thinking that this is a positive thing for young guys or whatever, because like the alternatives are so bad, right? Like I think back and I'm like, if you had told 15 years ago, Tim, like just asked me cold, like, what do you think about like Joel Osteen and the Prosperity Bible and like whether that has a good impact on people? I would have told you what your face just says. That is awful. He is awful. It's mostly lies. It's like leading people to focus on the wrong things in life. It's kind of bullshit. And I find him gross. Now, 2025, if you're like, if we woke up tomorrow and it's like all of these incel young men that are like turning to radicalization and turning to Christo nationalism instead, all started going to prosperity gospel and started cheering and thinking about how Jesus wants them to buy a new car, I would think to myself, that seems to be better than where we're at.
So if Jesus wants them to buy a new car, know. Just like a random example, or has Joel Osteen actually said that?
I don't know if he exactly said that same
sponsored
thing.
Sponsored by Toyota, Joel Osteen.
The whole Osteen thing was kind of how like God wants you to succeed. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to, you know, go out and earn wealth and be happy and then share that wealth with others. Like that was kind of the gist of the Osteen.
Here's my advice to people, anyone watching. This is intergenerational advice. Have you ever browsed in incognito mode? It's not as incognito as you think. Oh, shit. That's not good for me. Google recently settled a $5 billion lawsuit after being accused of secretly tracking users in incognito mode. Google's defense? Incognito does not mean invisible. In fact, all your online activity is still 100% visible to a ton of third parties. And that's why I've been using our friends at ExpressVPN. That is VPN. I'm not going to lie to you. I did not know until very recently what a VPN even was. I vaguely knew that some people use it to access other countries' Netflix catalogs, which is a big one for some people. But I didn't get around to watching Anchorman 2 or the Bee Movie because they left Netflix. And now I've got ExpressVPN to find them anywhere else in the world. And believe me, as a fan of the Bee Movie, you know, I have watched it so, so very many times. They have servers in over 100 countries, so you can gain access to thousands of new shows and never run out of shit to watch. It works on all your devices, phones, laptops, tablets, smart TVs, and more. They're rated number one by top tech reviewers like CNET and The Verge. They're ExpressVPN and not slow, inefficient VPN for a reason. Look, all of us have things we're searching on the internet that we'd rather other people not see. No comment. But now, thanks to ExpressVPN, those kinds of queries will be safe from the prying eyes of my internet service provider. Protect your online privacy today by visiting expressvpn.com/fypod. That is expressvpn.com/fypod to find out how you can get up to 4 extra months free. expressvpn.com/fypod. Thank you. I'm a Jewish person. That is my ethnicity. That is my community. That is my sense of humor and my observational comedy. But generally speaking, in terms of faith, you know, I think everybody ought to be proud of whatever they believe. I think everybody ought to look for good things in life wherever they want to. But I seek in other people what some seek in ancient texts. And it has brought me so much joy. Like my religion and my belief is other human beings. I believe that the most divine and powerful thing in the world is a human being's capacity to allow goodness to prevail over evil within their own spirit. And I think that that's God for me. And because of that, I am let down when people allow the evil to prevail. But generally speaking, I have this undying faith that keeps me on a certain course because I believe in my own ability to do good. And I believe that the dark thoughts I have, and I have so very many, I'm a very demented person, that they're not going to win at the end of the day, because I care so much more about putting into this world what I hope others do as well and leaving it a better place than I found it. So my advice to everybody is, like, if you're lost and religion isn't making any sense to you, like, start to believe in your own ability to do good and start to believe in your own ability to encourage others to do good. And then God can be a part of that. God doesn't need to be a part of that. Like, if there is a holy body judging us when we die, I assure you, if what you're focusing on is doing good, you will be judged positively, because there's a lot of people who think God's going to be really nice to them because they talked about God a lot, but they didn't do a lot of good. And from what I understand about your average Abrahamic God, doing good is what's important. And that is my truth.
That was great.
That is my beliefs. That is my belief system.
That's great. Is that the end of the show? That's wonderful.
All right, everybody.
Did you have something else too, or did we do it?
I want to say to everybody who is Hindu, here's the ones that I know. Brahma is the creator. Vishnu is the preserver. Shiva is the destroyer. And then there's Ganesh, and I'm sure he's great. With FY Pod and Bulwark, we're Tim Miller and Cam Caskey. I hope you all had a fun time with us today, because we sure did. Stay tuned.
Love you all.